What's up, everybody? It's Casey with Two Worlds Podcast, and with me, as always, it's the meat to my kid muscle. It's Jake. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Whenever I Googled kid muscle, I was sure to include character after that, just in case I got put on a watch list.
It's like you just a bunch of buff babies popped up on your thing.
I gotta be honest. Fucking weird character.
Yeah. Well, So I don't know if you know, but because they're going to be bringing, I guess they're bringing in Kinnikuman back for like a reboot, I think, this year. And that was like the first anime, which is like, I guess it's kind of super racist, but like, it's like one of those things where like, because Japanese people have no chill with that type of stuff, especially in the 70s. And like, you know, I mean, there was all sorts, like if you look up Ramen Man, he's a Chinese character and you're like, wow. And like there was other ones too, but because like any of the black ones look like they have blackface. It's like I wonder how they're gonna do this in 2024 when people are much more sensitive.
I'll let the folks at home Google that one.
Yeah.
All right, well, we don't have any Monday Night Football because we are balls deep into the playoffs.
And our, so Casey, our last pick fucking lost.
I know. Dude, I was not happy last night either. The Bills fucking let the Chiefs win.
Yep. Genuine question, because I find it annoying just because I think the Colt Swift fans are annoying. But as someone that has a Taylor Swift fan in his house, that I'm assuming she's not, you know, gonna murder anyone that says they don't like Taylor Swift like the cult ones do.
Correct.
I was just like, man, I'm just making sure. You're like, no, I'm not allowed to say a damn word about Taylor Swift.
I just start sweating.
Yeah. You're like, dude. But is it annoying? Like the football, as a football fan, being like, oh, the Chiefs are playing now. Here we're going to cut to Taylor Swift and then have to listen to all of her cult-like fans be like, Swift!
I don't think it's as annoying as like Twitter makes it out to be.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. If they score a touchdown, they're going to show her for like 3 seconds, like, you know, going nuts in the box that she's sitting in.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
Because, I mean, in every sport that I watch, and by every sport, I mean basketball, when they decide to show, like, a celebrity more than once, I get annoyed as shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no disrespect to them, but it's like, believe it or not, I'm not watching this for this celebrity.
And if I had to guess, most of them don't like it either.
Except for Drake. Drake clearly loves it.
Yeah, well, Drake also thinks he's on the Raptors, so.
That's true.
Yeah, he's the worst.
Yeah, 100%.
But no, like the Taylor stuff, it was annoying at first. Now they're not so much talking about it as just like panning to her whenever Travis Kelce scores a touchdown.
Well, that's good. There was a really funny post on Clickhole, and it was like about Taylor Swift and Patrick Mahomes' wife. And it's like a tired Taylor Swift is looking at her phone wall, whatever her name is, you know,
Brittany, I think.
Yeah, Brittany Mahomes keeps texting her and she's just like, because that lady, as someone that doesn't follow much in the way of football, that lady just seems like the fucking worst.
Oh yeah, anything that I hear about her, I'm just like, oh, she's awful.
Yeah.
Not as bad as Mahomes' brother, but...
Yeah, and like those two are like a double-headed dragon of shit.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah, so anyway, we don't have a Monday Night Football. However, I'm going to ask you who you think is going to win the divisional championships next week.
All right. Put so your we've money got, on this. I've never been wrong.
We've got the Chiefs at the Ravens for the AFC. And then the NFC, we got the Lions and the 49ers.
Lions fucking destroy. They're winning the Super Bowl. They're going all the way this year. And then I'm rooting for the Ravens, but it's going to be the Chiefs.
Yeah. The like the Bills had like a 10-point lead at one time, which was dope. And then I don't know, Mahomes just like he kind of has that Brady thing to him where, you know, fourth quarter happens and he just turns into a robot that can't miss a throw. Yeah. So that was pretty annoying. And then to fucking tie the game, the Bills missed a field goal. It's like, that's it.
I saw a video online of a Chiefs fan like putting a fan up next to his TV and he turned it on. And when the kick happened and it went like the fan, he's like, yes, like he did something. I'm like, that's awesome.
That is great. But yeah, I'm also hoping that the Lions win. Always got to root for the underdog, so my team's not in it.
I'm kind of surprised though. You're as a Bears fan, you're like, fuck the Lions. But you're bigger than that.
Nah, it's fuck the Packers.
Yeah,
and that's pretty much it.
I gotcha.
And here lately, it's also fuck the Chiefs. Like the first 2 years that they were like winning, I was like, cool. But now I'm like, all right. Time for someone else.
I gotcha.
And, you know, I wouldn't be mad if the Ravens won either. Really, it's just like 3 out of 4 ain't bad here.
Yeah. Dude, speaking of like Bears and Packers fans, I saw this video online. This Packer and a Viking fan were walking together, like kind of shit talking each other, you know. But then they're like, oh, look, a Bears fan. And like they were gonna go over and like they tap on the shoulder because they're gonna say, I lay into this guy. The dude turns around and he's got Down syndrome. Oh, you've seen it? Okay.
I've seen it. And they're like, oh, hey, man. Yeah.
Like he's like, hi. Like he's just like, happy. And then they're like, oh, hey, nice coat. And then he's like, yeah, thanks. Nice clothes on you. And they're like, okay.
Yeah. I'm glad they changed their tune because I was like, man, I really want to like the end of this video.
Yeah.
All right. Actually, I didn't pull out any trivia cards.
Uh-oh.
Wait, I've got one here. We'll do one trivia card.
All right.
First question. What is the super alter ego of Felicia Hardy?
Black Canary. I'm kidding. Black Cat.
It is Black Cat. Nicely done. And the second question. What Marvel character is known for setting up training centers to help criminals and sometimes heroes become better fighters?
Set up trainings. I don't know on that one, man.
I'll give you a hint.
All right.
I'm a big fan of this character, and pretty much no one else is.
Oh, okay. So it's when you said I'm a big fan, I was like, Iron Fist. But if no one else is, I still don't know. Tasky.
Yep. There you go. There you go. I knew you'd get it. It is Taskmaster. All right. Shall we move on to the news?
Let's move it. Move it to it.
I actually have a lot of comic news this week, which is nice. But I'll do one that isn't. I saw this right before we got on this call. James Gunn claims that the Abrams Coates Elseworlds project is still in development. Now, he says all sorts of stuff, so who knows?
Yeah.
But is that something you want to see?
Which terrible one was that? Because I know, like, towards the end, before James Gunn came on, DC was just fucking green to everything, no matter how shitty it was.
Yeah, I don't know. I assumed it was the... Coates wasn't attached to the Earth 2 Superman thing, was he?
That was that? No, because
that was Michael B. Jordan, right?
Yeah, there was two different Black Superman things that were going to be coming out. The Michael B. Jordan one, which I think is dead. And then the other one where it was just like, no, it's just Black Superman so we can get headlines. We're not even, I don't even think they were going to use either like President Superman or Val Zod. They were just like, no, this is Clark, but Black. And it's like, why is this the main part? Because you were talking about it.
Yeah, well, I don't know. If that's what this is, apparently it's still in the works. We'll see.
Well, like, it's in the works, but nothing's been done with it. So I don't think anything's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree.
But let us know if you're like, nah, man, I need some lens flare Superman in my life. Let's do it. It's like, I need the guy that really just made Star Wars great again. All right. So Scooper Daniel RPK says White Tiger will make her debut in Daredevil Born Again.
Interesting.
Cool looking character. But again, I don't think if this is supposed to be like the Netflix, you know, tone. I don't think that character works in the Netflix tone too well. But
why is that?
Maybe it's just because I've only seen her. Because like she was started off in that that animated show before she became an actual comic book character, correct?
Maybe. I have no idea.
I think she did, and that's the only place where I know her from. And it's like she's a kid.
Was that the Drake Bell Spider-Man one?
Drake Bell. I have no
Spider-Man or something.
No, I think it was Ultimate Spider-Man. I don't know if it was. I didn't know. I thought the Drake Bell one was the Spectacular. I don't know. I barely know much about Drake Bell. I just know that he, I guess, was a fan of a 16-year-old, but that's a different story for another day.
He was Ultimate.
Okay. So yeah, she was in that. I think she was made for that show, and then they brought her in the comics. And I think she looks cool, but it's just, I don't know how she fits in that, because she seemed, at least in that, like I said, more funny, less, you know, dark and gritty Daredevil. Probably would have worked better in the She-Hulk show, where it's got more humor, in my opinion. But hey, maybe you guys have read her and you know more about it than me.
And if you've read her, then you absolutely know more than me.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Okay. So DC is teasing a major 2024 event on Free Comic Book Day this year. The tagline that I rolled my eyes at was that it says 30 years in the making. It's like, come on. This is the one that you've had in your back pocket for 30 years. Before it's been leading to this.
Yeah, well, because, you know, they're like, well, so, okay, to keep this timeline right, we have to completely reboot our universe, but like fumble it terribly with the new 52. Then we got to retcon that, and then we have to like blow up the whole universe with Dark Crisis, and then bring all our guys back and change stuff up again to make sure this 30-year time frame that we have planned out to work. It has to be real. Come on.
Okay, well, yeah, my fault.
Yeah,
my fault. I would have rolled my eyes no matter what for another event. But that one, I rolled my eyes a little extra hard, I think.
I hope it's something like a Secret Invasion ripoff with like white Martians. Like that would just be cool.
Don't say that.
Dude, I mean, I'm just saying this. That was one of those things that had such a cool, that was like such a neat idea that just fumbled because Brian Bendis was the head writer. If they got a good writer on that, and like, oh yeah, it's revealed that like fucking, I don't know, Lois Lane has been a white Martian this whole time, or you know, whatever, like something like that, that'd be pretty awesome, you know, like different stuff like that. I'd be all about it.
Who would you want to write it then?
Bendez, I think, is working for DC now. We could just do that and have him do it again.
I don't think he's not writing anything for DC.
Damn it. Well, maybe they'll bring him back for this.
I wanted a real answer.
I mean, I think the easiest answer is Joshua Williamson. He kind of just does everything for him now.
True. But you haven't exactly loved his last couple events.
That's because it's a DC event. Like, I don't think anyone, because like, I think it's more down to editorial and less on Williamson's head. It's more just editorial being like, no, do this stupid thing.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right. So rumor has it, Marvel is approaching Ryan Gosling because they've just been like, he's been in the rumors playing all sorts of different characters for Marvel, but they're approaching him to play Mr. Richard Rider Nova. What do you think on that?
I hate it just because I don't want them to do Nova.
Yep.
It's like, what's the story? Like, why? Anything that he should have been in has already come out, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, and then, like, the dumbest part too, and I thank James Gunn for this, so it's not a knock at him, but he ruined the Nova Corps when he introduced them, and then the, you know, Thanos basically wiped them all out. That's like, you know, off screen. So it's like, let's just leave it at that. I'm fine. Thank you, James Gunn, for not letting them destroy Richard Rider. And now Marvel's like, I'm gonna find a way anyway. Fuck you, Casey.
Yeah, I agree completely, man.
And then if, like, I'm also like, if you're gonna introduce Nova, introduce him as a fucking teenager, have him be on the New Warriors, and then you get an actor that can do this for forever, not just like awesome Ryan Gosling as an old man. It's like, he should have been entered, like, it doesn't work because it's like he's now been a Nova this whole time, or he just gets it as an older dude, gets the power as an older dude, like Hal Jordan, making him even more of a ripoff of Green Lantern. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like the direction they're going. It's not that cosmic characters can't be in stuff that's not cosmic, but it's like, you should at least introduce them that way.
Well, I don't think Nova personally has to be introduced cosmic because he was a street leveler for ever, you know? So you could have him, but you can't just have him start off as, you know, like a 40-year-old.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Is it for sure old Dick Rider, or is it a potential Sam Alexander?
That's what they said it'd be him. So, I mean, I'm assuming if they did a Nova thing, they would just ignore their own continuity, like they're known to do, and have Richie with Sammy, because then that way you get the young guy with the old, and do like they were trying to do with, you know, what they were doing with Iron Man and Spider-Man. You have like the established actor, then you get, you know, someone from Euphoria probably to be Sam, and then you just go from there.
Yeah. Right on. All right. We're getting another AVX crossover in April, Casey. How fun is that? This one's going to involve some Fall of X stuff, and it will cross over between Avengers, X-Men, Iron Man, Wolverine, and the Resurrection of Magneto miniseries.
I'm going to need to know when those books are coming out, so I just don't pick up Iron Man and Wolverine. I don't need another Sword 10 of X thing going on.
I know. It's like, guys, please stop.
Yeah.
We don't need this.
Yeah.
It's like the fourth one since 2012, I think.
Yeah, you going to check it out? You sound excited.
I don't read any of those.
Okay, so my last bit of news.
You know what's funny, though? It's like, this would be about the time that I'm like, oh, Casey's really liking Wolverine. I'll jump back in. Here we've got another fucking crossover that's going to take you out of that story.
I still say jump back in because the Sabretooth Wars, chef's kiss of just stupidity. I love it. But so speaking of things that we are excited about, rumor has it Tobey Maguire will appear in Madame Web. His stuntman was allegedly seen on set. So
yeah, and he can only work for Tobey Maguire.
Yeah. Come on, man. So I mean, if that's true, that movie is about to go from an A+ to AA+.
Wow. Okay. Some actual exciting news. The next
You're not
Universal
excited for Madame Web? Come on.
I mean, I'm excited for us to go see it. Universal Monsters, like the next installment in that, has been announced. And it's going to be The Creature from the Black Lagoon. And it's going to be written by Dan Waters and Ram Adam V. Just kidding. It's just Ram V. I think both of us are probably checking that out.
I probably will. Like, I was going to ask if you were, because I know Dan Waters is your boy. So,
yep. I mean, I didn't stick with it, not because I didn't like it, but Dracula was cool. So, you know, it's got two really good writers on it.
Yeah. Be weird if like they took different turns writing and the other one would do the art.
That would be just really shitty art. All right. And then last bit of news. The Superman books are getting a crossover event called the House of Brainiac in April. It'll be written by Joshua Williamson with art by Rafa Sandoval. And the gist is that Brainiac has a Zarian army that invades Metropolis, and all of the supers and Lex fight back. And then there's going to be backups by Jeremy Adams and Kevin Maguire called Guy's Bogus Lobo Adventure, about Guy Gardner and Lobo, which sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's so exciting. But yeah, I don't like that it's a big crossover for the Superman books at all. It's just like, boy, could we just do one book? That'd be nice. I don't want to be buying all of these, but, you know, I'm still into it.
And what's really annoying is that Williamson is using his three issues of Action Comics for this.
Yeah.
And we've said 100 times, or at least I have, one writer should not have both character books.
Yep.
100%. Especially when it's just to add into your crossover. Just do one called, you know, House of Brainiac Superman 1, 2, 3.
Yep.
But whatever. I mean, it's still probably going to be great.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not going to let that stop me from complaining about it.
I'm not going to lie, though. It's like the main story, I'm sure, is going to be good. But that backup, I've never been more excited about a backup. Mostly because most of the time they fucking suck. But also, this one's awesome.
Yeah, it sounds like a ton of fun. We're both fans of Adams and Maguire. Mm-hmm. You know, Guy and Lobo, it's just, it's got to be so much fun. And it's going to look amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So, can't wait. All right, but that is it for the news, man.
Hell yeah. What did you read this week?
I read Sonic the Hedgehog, Fang the Hunter, number 1. Superman Lost, number 10. Superman, number 10. Nightwing, number 110, and World's Finest, 23.
Oh, wow, man. You slacked off a little bit this time.
I know I left Green Lantern. Was I missing something else?
Green Lantern, Daredevil, Jay Garrick, The Flash.
Yeah. Well, all right. Whatever. Fucking sue me.
All right. So I read The Invincible Iron Man number 14, Fantastic Four 16, Green Lantern War Journal, number 5. What's the furthest place from here? 17. Cobra Commander, number 1. Jay Garrick, The Flash, number 4. Daredevil, number 5. World's Finest, 23. Superman 10 and Superman Lost, 10 of 10.
Okay, I'll let you start. You've got a few more than me.
All right, so I'm going to start with Invincible Iron Man, number 14. It's very heavy in the Riri Williams category, aka Ironheart, I'm pretty sure. She's got them old Mandarin rings and whatnot, and then her and Forge are working in a forge, putting together some spaceships and stuff. And yeah, she's dealing with having these evil rings. But hold on one second.
Oh, big cough.
Yeah, I had a little tickle in my throat. I'm like, stop tickling. So yeah, it was fine. It's solid. Like, this book has just been pretty solid. Yeah, I liked it. I'm going to go 7 out of 10.
All right. Nice. You want to do another one?
Yeah, I'll talk about Fantastic Four by Ryan North and Francisco Mortarano.
Wow.
So, one of the, like, it's such a weird idea because, like, all of the kids are going to school because they came back last issue. So Franklin's in school, Valeria's in school, and the two little freak aliens that Ben Grimm and Alicia have are going to school. Valeria's like smarter than Reed, by the way. So there's no, like, Reed got like the knowledge to know how to use his brain, but there is no way, you know, high school in the suburbs of New York is going to really give her any problems. But then, like, they decide, you know, she's like, I want to make this serum thing, you know, like stuff, and then they do, and it backfires, of course, and all, you know, hilarity ensues, and then Reed saves the day, and yeah, they then fail their homework, which they get an F minus, which, by the way, Ryan North, that's not possible to get an F minus unless you're giving negative numbers. Like, yeah, you got a negative 5, you idiot. Like, that's not a thing.
But that's just a community joke.
Yeah. So, you know, like, it's fine. I just don't get how Valeria's gonna be needing to go to high school at all. But yeah, I'll probably give it an F minus. Nah, I'm joking. Probably a 6.
Okay. Not a super strong outing.
Yeah. Like I said, it was fine.
All right. I can talk about Sonic the Hedgehog. Fang the Hunter, number 1. It's written by Ian Flynn, and the art is by Mauro Fonseca. This is just the A cover, but it's bright and cool. I like it. Super fun book. The, like, Sonic is drawn in the classic style. It's chock full of like one line jokes, but not so much that it's like annoying. Like, they all hit, which is pretty awesome. But I think that's also just Ian Flynn's been writing Sonic comics for so many years that it comes naturally. But yeah, essentially, Fang is trying to get out of Sonic and Knuckles info on an 8th Chaos Emerald, but there's not 8, there's only 7. So everyone's kind of like, what are you talking about? But Fang has determined that there is one. So this mini series is going to be about him trying to find it so that they can sell it and buy themselves various things. Like, he wants to upgrade his ship. The other guy, I think his name is Beak or something like that, just wants to buy a really nice soccer ball. And Bark, the bear, wants like a deep freezer. You know, why not, right?
Yeah.
So everybody has things that they want. And yeah, it was a really fun issue. I was looking forward to it. It did not disappoint. I'm looking forward to the rest of it. And I will be giving it a 9 out of 10.
Nice, dude. All right, so Green Lantern War Journals, issue 5, by Philip Kennedy Johnson and artist Montos. Art's solid in this. There's parts where I'm like, you know, it just looks, stuff looks a little weird. Like, here's a Steel here. Like, look at his face.
Not great.
Yeah. But the other parts where it kind of levels out. So, art's, like I said, solid. There's a part that, like, I don't want to spoil too much since you are going to read this, right?
Yeah.
Or are you just done with the book?
No, I'm not done with it. Okay. I've read all the others.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know if you're like, no, at five, I'm done. But John does something with his ring, and it's like, I was reading it, and I'm like, boy, it's a good thing the Guardians are all dead, because otherwise we'd have another Parallax situation going on here. And so, yeah, then it ends with the big cliffhanger of, you know, John going to have to fight the bad guy and stuff. And it's good. It's a solid issue. It's probably one of the better issues of this series so far, in my opinion. And on that, I'm going to give it probably a 8.75. Not quite a 9, but almost a 9.
Wow. Breaking out the decimals here.
Yeah.
Okay. Nightwing 110. It's written by Tom Taylor with art by Sammy Basri. I didn't know it was a Beast World tie-in, or I probably wouldn't have read it. It was filler. It was kind of lame. You know, Tom Taylor does his whole, we gotta talk like everything is the end of the fucking world when we know that it's not. And that just bugs me. And yeah, I don't know. Essentially, Nightwing and John have to team up to save Damian, who's been turned into one of the Beast people and put into like this underground Beast person fighting ring. Nothing spectacular about it whatsoever. I'm going to give it a 4 out of 10 for the art being nice.
I gotcha. Now, do you have, I mean, I think the answer is probably 0, but is there any interest in Beast World at all? And the Titans, the current Titans book?
No. And actually, this has given me negative interest.
I gotcha. All right. So what's the furthest place from here? Issue 17. And this is by Tyler Boss and Matthew Rosenberg. So we're back in the zoo that they had, and you know, that we had been in like a couple issues ago. And then people are just attacking them, trying to, you know, basically get their friends back and killing them and stuff. And it's a wild issue. It's pretty cool. The downside is, and this is a problem I have with this book a lot of the times, where like I'm trying to remember shit that's happened. Oh, Lord knows how long ago with some of this stuff. So I'm trying, you know, I try to remember back to stuff and it doesn't always work out. But yeah, I like this issue. It's cool. There's action parts in it. And it's just the same, entertaining stuff that we always get from this book. So if I had just had a, you know, if it had a better release schedule, it'd probably get a higher score. But I'm going to go 8 out of 10. And yeah, when this gets collected, I am going to get the big fancy omnibuy, unless they'll be like, nah, this is actually, since this is like the world's most hipster book, it's like, it's actually coming out on a vinyl record that you can only listen to.
I mean, it's already got vinyl records.
I know.
For it.
I know. That's why I made that joke.
I've just got our Mewchies, I think. Oh. So.
So next up, it's Cobra Commander number 1 by Joshua Williamson and Andre Milana. This is the start of the Cobra Commander verse, and I'm not gonna lie, I was really excited for this, and I was kind of just let down. And maybe it's just because it's a fucking Cobra Commander book, and it's like, oh yeah, this character is a douche, and that might be why. But it just felt like not a lot happened. Like, it did explain a little bit of what's going on and stuff. And it kind of connects into the Transformers a little bit better with some of the stuff that happens versus Duke, where Duke was just like, they're like, yeah, you have PTSD from a giant robot, but now you're dealing with Destro. Like, it was just kind of like a quick jump, you know? And with this, it's like, yeah, it's connecting a little bit better. But yeah, I mean, it's, I'm still here for the ride. Next, we're going to get the Dreadnoks, which should be pretty cool. So yeah, I mean, it was a solid first issue. So I'm going to probably just 6.5 out of 10. Solid, you know? Like,
sounds a little less than solid, personally.
I mean, like, you could get into a boat, and if this was a boat, you could go across Lake Shelbyville in it, but you probably wouldn't feel safe.
Okay.
It's not going to work well in the ocean, but, you know, it can get you across a lake. So Jade Garrick's Flash by Jeremy Adams. I'm trying to find... there we go. And Diego Olortegu on the art. They do a good job of, like, basically retconning Jay's origin in this issue, but making it better. Like, because it's like, oh yeah, this is how the hard water stuff worked, basically, you know? And so it's really good. I really like it. It's all in, you know, all past. The art's good. And we learn more about the bad guy in this. And yeah, I'm super into it. I'm going to say 9 out of 10. I liked it a lot.
Nice.
And then Daredevil time. So Jake, you missed out on this one because G-Hulk's in it. First off, this is by Saladin Ahmed and Farid Karami. And just the most muscle mommy She-Hulk we've got in a hot minute.
For like, sure.
It's just like, there's the beef, people making the TV show. This is what you should have done. But
dude, I don't even know what happened. I don't know why I forgot this book.
Yeah, I don't know, man. But so this is just another issue. Like, she's like, she runs into Matt while he's trying to get a TV for, it's not an orphanage, but, you know, where he's at. And she runs into him and she's like, hey, me and Jack, we're going to go to this place, this really expensive food place, and he's not able to come with me. Sounds like him. And so she's like, how about you?
Not come? Able.
Yeah. And how about you come with me instead? And, you know, be my date as a friend. And so they go there and she's just fucking gorging and whatnot. And so is Matt. And then they just like, oh, let's go to this other place and get some more food. And they keep going. It's like she's being very gluttonous. And so they then gonna go get gelato. There's some bad guy, like some stuff going on there. So then she gets mad and she's like hangry. You know, they need to give her a Snickers and she starts, you know, attacking stuff. And then it's like, oh, Mr. Hyde was behind this. And it's like, oh yeah, Mr. Hyde versus She-Hulk's not gonna end well for Mr. Hyde. And then like Matt finally notices that she's possessed by a demon, like everyone that, you know, he's been friends with that he's met. And this one's gluttony, and of course. And so Matt's like, oh, okay, so there are four more out there, you know. And then it ends with a character seeing Matt, and he was like, oh, we're gonna have a talk. And so yeah, it was pretty solid. I mean, this book deserves a 10 just for the way they drew She-Hulk, but, and the story itself was pretty obvious too, but I liked it. I'm gonna go 9.5. I like the story, but I didn't love it enough. But boy, Muscle Mommy She-Hulk, wish she was here to stay. Now I'm just down to our Muchis.
All right. I've got it sitting here, world's finest soup, Soup's Lost.
Now I got it. Like, we're one mind.
One mind. All right, we got World's Finest 23. It's written by Mark Waid with art by Dan Mora. I mean, I thought it was pretty cool, huh?
I liked it, but I'm not like, the art in this is so good, but at the same time, I'm like, you guys could have just not gone to the Kingdom Come universe. Like, adding in, like, I just think adding in like Gog when they did that in like the Justice Society. No, it was the Kingdom, I think, where they first added Gog in. It's like, yeah, really hurt things. And then they just keep doing stuff. It just takes away some of the greatness, in my opinion, of this book. And then like Magog looked really weak in parts where it's like, yeah, this guy's supposed to be like close to Superman and the two Batman are trying to take him. You know, like that stuff was a bit annoying to me.
I get that. Was not expected to see those three little words on the final page, though.
Mm-hmm.
To be concluded. Looks like we're only getting one more.
I thought that this was going to pop back up in Action Comics too, though. Because I thought that was one of the things that they said in one of the issues, unless they just changed their mind.
It could have been. But also, like, why? Just let this keep going.
Yeah.
But whatever. Yeah, I mean, art's really cool. I don't really want a fight with Darkseid that's only going to last one issue and then it be over, but I guess that's what we're getting. So
mm-hmm.
I still liked it. I think it's a cool book. I'm going to give it a 7.5.
Yeah, I mean, the art in this carries this book, in my opinion. I think, I don't know. Like I said, I really hold Kingdom Come very high. And so, like, this stuff kind of, it just hurts it. Hurts the legacy of Kingdom Come. It's kind of like when even though this is by the same writer, it's just like when they did the anything Watchmen related for me, too. It's like, you don't need to. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm probably at like a 5 with it. The art's so good. But, yeah, it just kind of hurts it for me with the story. But Magog is awesome. I'm like, that twist was still super cool.
Yeah, it was.
All right. So Superman number 10. And this is by Joshua Williamson with Bruno Redondo and Caio Felipe on the art. Dude, the art in this was awesome. And you're probably, on this podcast, the biggest Western fan between the two of us. What'd you think?
I thought it was good, man.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. Especially that Thirst Trap cover that we got. There's the beef.
Yeah. No, that's not the beef. The Thirst Trap picture. That's the beef.
That is the beef for sure. But yeah, I liked it. I didn't really remember what happened at the end of the last issue. Has it been a while? Has it been a while since it came out? Or
I think it's only been a month.
Okay, because I was just like, boy, what? Why are we here? I don't even know what's going on. But still, very enjoyable. Bruno Redondo sure knows how to draw. And, you know, Marilyn Moonlight, pretty neato character.
Yep.
So it was just a good little filler book. And then at the end, we've got these fucking weirdos. I hate their designs. I hate it.
I do too. The one with the face mask, I'll say, is the best of the bunch.
Yeah. But this is nightmare fuel.
Yeah. And then the Unchained is just
Nick
so
Cage.
Lame.
Because right? that's who it is. It looks like Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. It's pretty rough.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm all on board. Like, every time I read one of these, I like it. The villains just suck.
Yeah.
But anyway, where are you at with it?
I'm probably at a 8.5. If it didn't end like that, and I have to be reminded of those villains, it probably would have been higher. Because, like, everything up to that, so good. Yeah. And then, like, even this last page. Like, I'm just going to compare, like, okay, this art right here. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, so pretty, so cool. And then this last page, it's rough. Like, it just got rough out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's like, he just doesn't like these characters either.
And I don't blame him. I don't blame him. I'm going to give it a 9 because I don't want to, you know, one stupid page
isn't
going to ruin the book for me. It just sucks that we have to go back to that next issue. I want like 3 issues of Superman in the Wild West before he gets all of his powers back, you know? But yeah, super cool. And then finally, we've got Superman Lost number 10. And it's written by Priest. The art, it must be at the end. Yep. It's drawn by Carlo Pagulayan and Jose Luis. Dude, it's finally the last issue of this series. How did it end for you?
Fucking confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is such a roller coaster of a book as a whole. Because, like, it was, you know, like, just ups and downs, and then just kind of went flat for a little while, and then it went back up, and then now I'm kind of like, I don't know. I reread it twice, and even now I'm still like not 100% sure I got what happened.
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit of spoilers here, folks. So, you know, look at the timestamps if you don't want to hear us talk about it, but I guess the short of it is time travel, which never makes sense.
Yeah.
So is it white suit Superman isn't the one that she gets at the end? It's the old man.
I don't know.
It was him from the beginning.
I don't think it was the old man, because I think the old man's just straight up dead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess I could see that now.
Yeah, but I think he has her use the ring to change stuff whenever those one aliens dumped them back. You know, they just dumped them on Earth and they were mad about it, type of thing. And so it's a completely new Superman that we did not follow at all from the whole story.
Yeah.
That's how I took it, but like, I just had so many questions. I'm like, so wait, where's the Justice League? Because the Justice League go to help the planet too. Like, did they make it back?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Pretty bizarre ending.
Yeah.
I guess when it comes to comics, or maybe just stories in general, endings must be the hardest thing.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that's like, I don't remember. I think it might have been Whitest Kids You Know. But they had a whole sketch where it was like, they're like building up. And then they're like, so yeah, we're just ending it here. Endings are hard to write.
Yeah, I remember that. Wasn't that the Abe Lincoln one?
No, Abe Lincoln ended with them saying, yes, Abe Lincoln was hammered in the ass, was like, you know, like, was just beaten like with a hammer in his ass.
Right.
Because he was very rude or something like that.
Anyway. Yeah, I don't know. The grade on this is hard because the last 3 issues or so were so good. I mean, this book won our best book award of 2023.
Yeah.
And the ending was so confusing.
Yeah.
You said you had to read it twice. I just read those last like 4 pages twice because I'm like, maybe I was reading this too fast. Nope. Speed doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So what do you give it?
So the art's outstanding, as always. And then, like, it's a well-written story. And outside of, like, probably the last 5 pages, it's really good. It's just those last 5 pages kind of hurt it. So I'm going 7.5.
All right. I was at 7, so we're not too far off there.
Yeah.
And what about as a whole? How do you recommend this book to somebody knowing that the ending is like that?
I'm going to say an 8. And I would recommend it to people, though, because it's still a really good story, even if the ending doesn't make sense. I mean, there's been countless times where I've recommended Grant Morrison books, and I'm like, yeah, this is still pretty out there. So,
right.
You know, I mean, Mileage may vary with it, but I think for the most part, even if someone's like, I don't really know about that ending, they'd enjoy the ride to it.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Where are you at with the series as a whole?
I don't know, not to be a big old copycat, but I think 8 is fair. Because like it starts off strong, then it dips pretty hard. It almost lost me for one issue, but then I'm right back in. And it's good until the end. So I think that 8 is totally fair.
I'll say this, and like I'm just gonna compare it to Ulcer Superman. There's a like the bizarre like this the issue or two that nearly lost us is a lot like the Bizarro World issues on Ulcer Superman, where you're like, this is kind of dragging. Like there's some good character moments there, but I'm like, Lord, I hope this isn't like this much longer. And then it's not, and you're like, oh yeah, this is one of the best Superman books ever. The only downside is like the end of Ulcer Superman is perfect, and this one was like a head scratcher.
Yeah, totally agree.
But what are you excited about for this coming week, man?
I'm gonna go with Immortal Thor. Let's see. I do plan on checking out the Thrawn book, because that'll be a nice adaptation. And then, let's see. Probably Green Arrow, honestly.
Yeah. So this is such a light week for me. This was all three books that I ordered. The Flash, the Nasty, and then I'm trying out the Dear Editor, because it was like it sounded like a crime book, and then they're like, but the main person's a deer. I'm like, what the fuck? Might as well.
Yeah, for sure.
But okay, man, Fantastic Four time. I was just thinking when I was writing this, you know, a little before we got on the air, what would be funny, like just funny or something cool or something you just want to see? It'd be like four cartoons that you want to see gritty reboots of, not just like, oh yeah, I really miss Magus XLR. Let's bring that back. No, no, it's got to be like, you know, just a fucking nightmare of a gritty one, like the Winnie the Pooh or the Steamboat Willie movies were.
Dude, this one's tough because I really hate that.
Yeah.
Very much against it, especially Winnie the Pooh. I think for like two of mine, this is kind of cheating, but like, I think He-Man and She-Ra could benefit from a gritty reboot.
Yeah.
Gritty doesn't mean like shitty.
No, absolutely not.
So like a dark fantasy He-Man or a dark fantasy She-Ra, I think could be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something, I'd also want something a little more sci-fi heavy. So like Bucky O'Hare, maybe.
Nice.
And then, gosh, I don't know. What was that show that was on Boomerang, the Barbarian one?
Thundar the Barbarian.
Thundar, there you go.
Nice. So I would say the Herculoids as a gritty reboot. You know, you get Gloop and Gleep, you know, if you remember them.
Yeah.
and then I'm gonna go with Ed, and Eddie. Get a fucking dark and gritty reboot of that. That'd be fun.
Where they're like actually cooking meth and stuff.
There we go. then let's just say Powerpuff Girls, another dark and gritty reboot, you know.
That almost happened.
I know. It would have been great. We were so in love with that idea. And then the number one, the one that I thought of first, Street Sharks.
Ooh. Okay.
Awesome. Actually, let's cut Powerpuff Girls out, because I think we're going to get this one. Gargoyles.
Oh, yeah. I think we are going to get that one, too. Yeah,
be pretty cool. So while we're on the subject, though, of dark and gritty, you know, like Disney properties, someone did a Instagram thing that I want to share with you because I think you'll get a laugh about it. It's, you know, that scene at the end of Iron Giant when Mansley's like, fire the missile now. And then the general's like, where is, you know, like it's locked in on his current, you know, thing. Where do you think he is, Mansley? And, you know, like that part. So someone goes, are you fucking kidding me? And then they do like a thing for like the Mickey Mouse video game that's coming out. And he's like, it's just the top of it is Mansley. He's like, Disney's earliest Mickey and Minnie Mouse interpublic domain. He's like, reveal the survivor horror now. And then, then it cuts to the general. And he's like, that public domain was for Steamboat Willie only. What color are Mickey's eyes, Mansley? Like, we can claim parody law. There's another game series that you can't use parody on a damn replica, Mansley. And now Disney is going to fuck us over. Like, you mean we're gonna get sued, Mansley, for Walt Disney?
Dude, you know, speaking of all this stuff, I saw another one where it was showing when Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman hit public domain, and that's in like the next 10 years.
Yeah.
So
I don't know how different Wonder Woman's gonna be, but I know Superman, it's going to be like the one that can be used in public domain is going to be so different than what we have now.
Yeah. Still just like, man, can't you fuckers do something original?
Mm-hmm.
We don't. It's just that meme where it's a hand smacking the button. It's just survival horror on anything.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the end of the episode, man.
Yeah, let us know down below. Do you want a survival horror Superman game?
And if so, why is your taste so poor? I'm just kidding. Anyway, guys, if you would, head on over to facebook.com/twoworldspodcast and give the page a like. You can also follow us on Twitter at @2_worlds_PC and on Instagram at @2worldspod. You can email us at twoworldspodcast@gmail.com. And if you would, head on over to the YouTube channel. That's Two Worlds Podcast on YouTube and subscribe.
And leave some comments down below that, you know, I don't know, about stuff. Like just how your day's going, I guess. But we'd love to stay in chat, but we've got to go fight the DMP. Do we know what it stands for? No, we do not. Bye, guys.
Bye.